32, find 1st and 2nd Samuel, then 1st and 2nd Kings, and then you'll find 1st and 2nd Chronicles. 2nd Chronicles, chapter 32. We have dealt with a few strange scriptures, messages, and scriptures that reveal strange dealings of God with the Christian. We looked at how the disciples were led by Christ in a ship into a storm. It was a demonic storm sent from hell. And in that demonic storm, in which all hell raged against them, they found that their Christ was asleep in the boat. They had awakened him. That is a deal and a personal experience that we as believers do go through. It's out of obedience and it's out of our following of Christ that we end up in such storms. Not out of disobedience. It's not a punishment, but it comes out of obedience. We also looked at an experience of walking through darkness, that a genuine Christian can have an experience where they walk in darkness for a period of time, but again, not out of disobedience, but because they're following after the Lord. I want to come to a third thing here, and a strange thing in some ways, and it's a bit different than the others. My message is humbled under the mighty hand of God. Humbled under the mighty hand of God. 2 Chronicles chapter 32, reading from verse 24. In those days Hezekiah was sick to the death, and he prayed unto the Lord, and he spake unto him, and he gave him a sign. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. And Hezekiah had exceeding much riches and honor, and he made himself treasures for silver and for gold and for precious stones and for spices and for shields and for all manner of pleasant jewels, storehouses also for the increase of the corn and of wine and of oil, and the stalls for all manner of beasts and coats for flocks. Moreover, he provided him cities and possessions of flocks and herds in abundance, for God had given him substance very much. This same Hezekiah also stopped the upper watercourse of Gihon and brought it straight down the west side of the city of David. And Hezekiah prospered in all of his works. Howbeit, and notice this please, howbeit in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, and God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. Let's pray. Father, we do humble ourselves under your mighty hand. We know that your hand is a mighty hand. And Lord God, we don't want to be found in any other place than being humbled under your mighty hand. Lord God, we want to willingly humble ourselves. Lord God, yet lest you should resist us, lest we find ourselves fighting against you, lest we find that in pride and arrogancy, and Lord God, in the haughtiness of our own heart, Lord God, that we should be unmindful of all of your benefits and your mercy and your grace, Lord God, lest we should even grow secure in our own selves, lest we should, Lord God, grow satisfied in the blessings instead of the blesser, Lord God, unless we get caught up with all of your benefits, then we forget, Lord God, a gratefulness of heart, a humility of heart, a brokenness of heart before you. My God, we don't want you resisting us, but we want to humble ourselves, that you might come and walk with us, that you might delight, Lord God, even even to dwell with us. You say that you revive the heart of the humble and the contrite. You resist the proud and the arrogant. But Lord God, you come down to the lowly man, not woman that takes a low place. Lord God, and we know that every river, Lord God, flows to the lowest bed. Lord God, and we want your river even to flow unto us in these days. In the mighty name of Jesus, we need you like we've never needed you. My God, breathe on us as we gather around your word. In the name of Jesus. My message is humbled under the mighty hand of God. Let me read verse 31 again. Howbeit in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done unto him in the land, God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart, humbled under the mighty hand of God. The scripture that we have just read here, verse 31, deals with an experience that I do not covet. I should hope that none of us would covet or desire to experience it. It ought to be a thing that we fear and tremble at the very thought of it. This scripture actually says concerning King Hezekiah that God left him. That God left him. And that term to leave means to loosen your grasp upon him. It means to relinquish your grasp upon him. It means to permit him to carry on without your hand being upon him. It actually means to forsake him or to leave him destitute or to leave him alone. Now this is what the Bible says God done with King Hezekiah. God actually left him. God lifted his hand to allow things to happen that couldn't happen before. God actually permitted a certain scene of time to pass on the life of Hezekiah that he hadn't experienced before. God lifted his hand. God removed his presence. God removed the influence of his grace upon his life. God actually removed something that used to restrain the life of Hezekiah for a short window of time, for a short period of time. God actually removed something that was holding Hezekiah in a certain place before God. Now why would God do that? And saints, God, it's very important we understand who this man Hezekiah is. I believe of all the kings mentioned in the Bible, Hezekiah is my favorite. He's the one who I admire the most apart from King David. In fact, the Bible says that in all of Scripture, there was no king like Hezekiah since the days of David. In other words, no man is comparable to having a heart after God like Hezekiah. He was very like King David. He was a godly man. He served God with all of his heart. The Bible actually says that even from his childhood that he cleaved to the Lord. That means he was stuck to the Lord, or it was like he was glued to the Lord. Can you imagine such a man that even from a child he was stuck to the Lord. He was glued and nothing could separate them. That is friends in unity. The Bible also says that he leaned heavily on the Lord and that he trusted in the Lord, that he feared the Lord, that he walked with the Lord, and that he sought the Lord. Saints, we are talking about a dynamic man. We're not talking about a proud man like Saul of Israel. You remember Saul, how he humbled himself for a moment. It wasn't his character, it wasn't his nature. He'd done it for a time. And he ought to, because he was nothing. But you know what it says? God anointed him and God used him and God lifted him up and God brought him out of all his dire circumstances. And doesn't it happen that there's someone in a crisis and God blesses them and helps them, and then they get out of the crisis and they forget about God? That is the history of our world, and it's the history of the Bible. And it says very shortly after God raised King Saul up and anointed him and made him the king of Israel. Do you know what he done? He forgot his God. He forgot his God. He became proud in his heart. And do you know what? God actually said that he took his mercy from him. And he took his anointing from him. And everything that God had given him, he took it off him. God removed his mercy from King Saul. He was still the king. He still had a position. He still had a great army. He still had a crown on his head. And yet God said, I am taking away my Holy Spirit. I'm taking away my blessing. I'm taking my anointing away. And when he died, the Bible says, it was as if he'd never been anointed at all. Never. It was as if God had never touched his life. And I watched in my day and generation, God touched people and the end of their days and standing at the graveside, it's as if they'd never been touched of God. What a tragedy. But Hezekiah wasn't such a man. Hezekiah was a man glued to God. He stuck to God. When we read the Bible, King Hezekiah's father was King Ahaz. He was a very wicked king, and under his rule, the state of the nation got worse and worse and worse. He destroyed the nation. He removed the real bloody altar where they made sacrifices, and he brought a new Damascus, a newfangled contemporary cross into the house of God. That's what his father done. And this young boy, Hezekiah, growing up in the house, he saw the wickedness of his dad. His dad was a contemporary Christian. Brought all the worship in. Said, we don't believe in repentance, and we don't believe in the cross, and we don't believe in the blood. Here's a nice, sophisticated, well-designed cross. And it'll suit everybody. That was the generation Hezekiah was born into. This was the church that Hezekiah was brought into. It was collapsing. It was falling apart. It was departing from God. And yet Hezekiah was born in that day. And we are told that he lived to see the doors of God's house shut. The light went out in God's house. It was a very dark day. And he lived through to 25, seeing darkness cover the nation. He saw apostasy and false teaching come into God's house. He watched it, saints. He watched all of this happen. Every year, the situation of the church grew worse. Until he was 25 years old. And then his father died. Wicked men had better watch out, because one day they're going to die. Yeah. Do you know King Herod, it says that there he sat on the throne and he began to take praise and said, I'm like a god. Do you know what the Bible says? An angel struck him and killed him. His innards rotted within him and he died. It was an angel done that to him. Oh, he never saw it. There wasn't a human blade, no piercing in his side. It was an angel of the Lord smote him. Why? Because of his pride. He was a wicked, godless king in Israel. And you know what God said? I have had enough of this pride. Angel, go smite him. I've had enough of arrogance and pride and haughtiness. You see, God hates pride. He hates arrogance. But when you look at the life of Hezekiah, you see a humble young man of God. 25 years old, he comes to the throne of Israel and he reigns for 29 years as king. Do you know what he begins by doing? As soon as he becomes king, he goes and opens the door. Within 7 days, they've cleaned out God's house. Within 3 months, revival has swept the land. He restores the priesthood. He brings the prophets back in. He allows the preaching of the word back in. Within 1 year, everybody knows revival is in the land of Israel again. Here is a young man hungry for God. Saints, I'm talking about a firebrand. I'm talking about a young man who's glued to the Lord. One who says, I utterly depend on him. I want a holiness revival in Israel. I want purity in the house of God. I want to clean idols out of the house of God. He cleansed and consecrated the temple and he restored the priestly ministry. His greatest companion was the old prophet Isaiah. Young Hezekiah loved Isaiah. Don't say that nobody listened to Isaiah. Hezekiah listened to him. This young man had listened to him from a young boy and said, this man has the word of God. He prayed with this man of God. He fellowshiped with this man of God. He communed with him. These were compatriots. They walked together to the house of God. Imagine walking with Isaiah. Here's young Hezekiah. Here's old Isaiah. And they're walking to the house of God. I would have loved to talk to that old man of God on the way to the house of God. He would have spoken of Christ like no Old Testament prophet. I can imagine Hezekiah's heart burning, saying, tell me more about the Messiah. Tell me more about that suffering Savior that's going to come to Israel. Tell me more of the things of God. Here was a man hungry for God. He wanted nothing but God. He had everything on the altar. He was sold out for God. Do you know that in the midst of his reign, that Sennacherib, the leader of Assyria, came up against the little nation of Judah? Now hear me on this. Assyria was the super state. It was the Soviet Union of that generation. It was the America or the China of that generation. Assyria was the one and only super state of Hezekiah's day. There was no other. Israel was only a small little tiny bit of land with a small population. And here is King Hezekiah over it, a young man who loves the Lord. And he's trying to lift the nation out of its depravity. And he's lifted it up to heaven. What a man. A man who can bring people to God is a godly man. How do we influence lives? Do we take them further from God or towards God? It ought to be the mark of our life. Yeah. Do you know what the equivalent would be? It's like China coming against Limerick. Or America setting all of its nuclear arsenal and all of its armed forces and its tanks and its bombs and its aircraft against the city of Limerick. That is the equivalent. And here's Hezekiah. The letter gets sent to him concerning the advancing army. Saints, this is a remarkable army advancing against the city of Jerusalem. They don't stand a chance. They don't stand a hope on earth. No bookies in Limerick City would give Hezekiah even a 1% chance. There is no chance he's going to come through this. There won't be a building left standing if they resist. It was a mega army, a mega state, an imperial force coming against a little tiny group of God's people. But they weren't overwhelmed. Do you know what you find? Hezekiah takes the letter and the threat of the enemy. Of course you can surrender. Of course you can capitulate. You can give in. You can surrender to the enemy and say, well, we'll live our Christian life, but we'll just submit to the powers that be. And we'll give you all of our gold and all of our silver every year, and we'll just allow you to demand of us anything. Hezekiah wasn't willing for that. Do you know what he done? He went into the house of God with Isaiah the prophet, and they laid the letter out. Do you think he was laughing? Do you think he was joking? Do you think they're singing songs of praise? Do you know what it says? He lay on his face and he wept before the Lord, and they pleaded with the Lord and they begged the Lord and they said, Lord, will you look at this letter? And they didn't rely on their army or their wisdom or their strength. Do you know what Hezekiah done? He went into the house of God. He didn't start training the army. He wasn't activating the forces. He wasn't saying, call in the national force. He's there on his face before God. He's crying unto God and saying, God, if you don't save us, we're finished. If you don't come and deliver us, it's over. Either the enemy is going to destroy this, but we are pleading with you. We are praying. He was a man who believed in prayer. He believed in prayer, saints. He was a man who sought God. He wasn't playing games in a prayer meeting. He said, you've got to meet with me or we're finished. What a crisis prayer meeting. And saints, every time you get to that place, God will answer you and he'll meet with you and he'll deliver you and he'll hear you. I don't care who comes against us. Do you know the problem is getting us to that place? It's not getting God answered. It's getting us to the place where we cry unto Him. Do you know what the Lord done? The Lord sent an angel to deliver them. Do you know what Isaiah the prophet said before the angel came? He started prophesying and said, "Thus saith the Lord, Hezekiah, don't you fear. Hezekiah, I've heard your prayer. Don't you fear. Do you know what? Not one of their arrows is going to get fired against this city. Not one single arrow." Can you imagine receiving that prophecy? The whole army is marching against the city. You can almost hear the trudge. You can almost feel the ground thud beneath your feet. You can hear them coming. And what's Isaiah prophesying? Thus saith the Lord, not one arrow is going to be fired against this city. They're not going to even build embankments against this city. They're not going to even start. And the Lord sent one angel. And the Bible says that one angel in one moment of time killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. In one moment of time, one angel absolutely destroyed it. Do you know after that happened, all nations knew Israel. All nations knew Hezekiah and Jerusalem and Judea. All nations, they had just defeated the super state of that generation. Assyria's army was absolutely pulverized outside of Jerusalem. Everybody knew about it. They must have went, who is this little nation? What is their secret weapon? What's the power? What nuclear force do they have? Oh, they had nuclear force, all right. They had a power not even known on the face of this planet. I'm talking about Hezekiah. Do you know, it says that God prospered him, that brought wealth to him and goods to him and possessions to him more than any other king. What a man that we are here. God blessed him abundantly. God poured out blessings. Do you want God to bless you? Do you want God to bless you? God poured out his blessing on Hezekiah. Hezekiah couldn't even contain the blessing. This was God's blessing on his life. This is real saints. And then one day, he gets news. Isaiah the prophet comes into him and says, Hezekiah, set your house in order because you're about to die. The Lord's taken your life. Hezekiah, you're on your bed here and you're not going to come off it. You're going to go to your grave. You're a dead man. 3 days, you're a dead man. You're not going to come out of this house. You're not going to survive this illness. This is a prophecy from God. This is God saying, Hezekiah, anything you're going to do, do it now. He's a good man. The bad things happen to good people. And as that word come to him, he shuddered, saints. This is God telling him he's about to die. This is God saying, you better sort all your affairs out. Do you know Candace's dad had all of his affairs sorted out when he was on his deathbed? Do you know for at least several months after he was in his grave, there were little envelopes with all the payments sitting for her mommy to pay all the bills and for this one and that one and this one. I think he was still tithing to the church 6 months after he died. That was a man with his house in order. Very few people have their house in order when they die. Very few. And what's sad is most of them don't have their house spiritually in order when they die. But there are some. To Hezekiah, as he lay in the bed, he didn't say, well, Sarah, let the Lord do it. Obviously, this is God's plan. As soon as Isaiah leaves the room, it says he turned his face to the wall and he began to cry out to God. In the book of Isaiah, we have his prayer and he began to cry out to God and said, oh, God, save me. He was a man who sought God. Saints, I'm telling you about a man who could get prayers answered. He could save a whole city by his prayer, not his efforts, not his skill as a military leader. He was a man of prayer. And here he is, he's gonna die. Do you know what he does? He cries on the Lord. He goes, "Oh God, I humble myself under your hand. Lord God, I lay hold of you." Isaiah hasn't even reached home yet. And here's a man beseeching God. "Oh God, I'm desperate. Oh God, how can the grave praise you? If I die, if you let me die, there'll be no praise for you in that grave. I want to live and praise your name." As he lay in that deathbed, he said, "Lord, if you heal me, I'm going to walk carefully before you. Lord, if you heal me, I'm going to praise your name before everyone. If you heal me, I'll tell everybody about you." He's on his deathbed. He's about to die. He's making vows from the depths of his heart. Is he a real man of God? Oh, he is. Isaiah hasn't even reached home. Do you know what the Lord does? Speaks to Isaiah and says, "You go back, tell that man he's going to live." Amen. Isaiah turned, walked back. Walks into the house, says, "Thus saith the Lord." And the Lord's heard your prayer. And you know what? The Lord's given you 15 more years. In 3 days' time, you'll be out of this bed and you'll be out of this house. 3 days' time, you're going to walk out a healed man. And the Lord promised him, "I'm going to give you 15 years. Heaven was giving him a guarantee. Nobody can kill you. No assassin can kill you. No army can stop you. You're indestructible for 15 years. Nobody can take your life out. You are an absolute untouchable man. You're absolutely secure. All hell, no angel can touch you. No man can touch you, or I'll be proved a liar." He absolutely got the promise of heaven that for 15 years he was an untouchable man. He was beyond the power of death. He was beyond the realm of disease. He was beyond any assassin's arrow. Nobody could touch him. Nobody could destroy him. Saints, imagine having a promise for heaven like that. To say you're indestructible. Do you know, while he was yet in the bed, he actually said to Isaiah, "I need a sign that this is going to happen." Because remember, the Lord says, within 3 days. He didn't say immediately. He didn't heal him immediately. He says, within 3 days, you're going to walk out. Isaiah says, "How do I know this is the Lord?" It was so hard to believe. He says, "Well, on that old sundial of your father's made of brass." He says, "You choose. The markings on it to go back on the dial, the sundial. Do you want it to go back 10 degrees or forward 10 degrees? Well, Hezekiah was wise, wasn't he? He said, "Well, it wouldn't take much to go forward 10 degrees. I want it to go back." And that means you're going to have to move the planets back as a sign to me. You're going to have to rearrange it. And on this sundial, it's going to go back 10 degrees. And that's the sign I'm asking for. Do you know what the Lord done? The Lord made it move back 10 degrees as a sign he was going to heal him within 3 days. Saints, we're talking about a man who knew God, who could touch God's heart, who walked with God, who had a passionate heart. We're talking about a real man here. And then we come to verse 31. Let me say it again. God left him. God released him. God relaxed his grasp on him. God forsook him. God left him. Don't try to mellow these words, saying God left him. That doesn't mean he was walking through a time of darkness. God removed something he had before. There was a restraint on his life before. There was something he had before. He doesn't have it anymore. God left him. Why would God do that? He's a holy man. He's a righteous man. He's a man who seeks God in prayer. Why would God leave him? With his prayers he could defeat the greatest empire's army. He was healed miraculously. He could make the sun go back. He could do all these things, but God leaves him. Why would God leave this king? I hope I've got you asking yourself now, why would God leave him? Look at the context in verse 31. What is the reason? Why did God leave him? It says, howbeit in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him. Why did God leave him? It was in relation to the Babylonian ambassadors who came unto him. There was a context. God left him in this situation. God left him in a situation where ambassadors are being sent from Babylon to visit him. We read in Kings, in 2 Kings chapter 20, the same story is there, and it expands on it a little. We read about these ambassadors from Babylon. You see, they hear about his miraculous healing. Hezekiah's been miraculously healed. They hear about it. They hear about his sickness, and they hear about his miraculous healing. And the king of Babylon sends ambassadors, and they bring letters from the king, and they bring lots of presents to Hezekiah. And here's Hezekiah, all of these years, 14 some years of tremendous blessing. He is the most blessed man on the face of the planet. He is the most prosperous man. He's the most victorious man. He's the man with the greatest testimonies on the whole face of the planet. And as these ambassadors from Babylon come walking down the road, God leaves them. The restraining grace of God leaves them. The wisdom of God leaves them. The discernment leaves them. The understanding of God that he had leaves them. The knowledge of God leaves them. And he's left to face these men, these ambassadors in Hezekiah. And I'm going to prove this. I know I haven't proved it yet. I'm going to prove it to you. Since this is something the Lord only showed me a week ago. Changed my whole thinking on this verse. And as the ambassadors come, he takes them in. Why did they come? They come because they heard about the miracle and they want to hear about it. It says there, they came to inquire of the wonder that was done to Hezekiah. They come into, that word wonder actually means a conspicuous miracle or sign. It means a bright and a beautiful shining forth of something that can't be explained. These Babylonians have come all the way from Babylonia to little Judah. And they said, we have come to ask you about this miracle. We're here to ask you. And you know what actually happens? It says that Hezekiah takes these ambassadors. And in 2 Kings it says, and Hezekiah hearkened unto them. Notice that, hearkened unto them. Or it also says in Isaiah that he was glad of them. He's very happy to see them. Now he's getting a reputation amongst the nations. Now everybody's hearing about his reputation. Now men are coming from afar. Now nations are beginning to notice him. Now men are beginning to say there's something about this man. Now they're respecting him by sending ambassadors to him. He's an important man, isn't he? And it says, he showed them all of his house. And listen to this, the precious things and the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment and all of his house and armor and all of the treasures. There was nothing in his house that he didn't show them, nor in all of his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. We have just read there 5 times the word his. His treasures, his dominion, his armor, his house, everything was his. Here's Hezekiah at the peak of victory, the peak of blessing. Since there is great dangers with God blessing you. Why do you think he hasn't answered some of your prayers? You couldn't handle it. Not many men can handle the dizzy heights of blessing without buffeting. Not many can handle a great reputation or great victories or great miracles or great blessing or unparalleled answer to prayers. Not many can handle it. There's so many dangers even in the midst of blessing. God had literally lifted Hezekiah up to the heavens. To a place of notoriety across all the nations of the world. All the enemies of God knew the name of Hezekiah. And they actually come and they're asking about the miracle. But he doesn't tell them about the miracle. And he doesn't tell them about his God. And he doesn't tell them about a God who answers prayer. He doesn't speak about repentance or holiness or getting rid of your idols. The Babylonians were marked with idolatry. They used idols in their worship. But don't mention that. Here, look at all my treasures. Look at all my blessings. Look at all I have. Look at the splendor of my dominion. Do you see what's happened to Hezekiah? The man who used to lie on his face in the house of God and beg and weep and travail in prayer. Now he's been lifted to heights. And he's saying, look at all of this that I have done. And here's the Babylonians and he's telling them all the treasures and he's showing them everything. Everything. These are idolaters. These are enemies of God. These are unholy men. He's saying, look at all my treasures. After they left, and they left the city and began to travel home, Isaiah the prophet came into the city. He comes to Hezekiah and he says, Hezekiah, who are these men that came unto you? And what did they say and what have you shown them? He said, they come from a far land. He says, they're Babylonians and I've shown them all my treasure. All my treasures. I've shown them everything. Isaiah the prophet prophesies and says, because you have done this thing, he says, your nation is going to be given into the hands of Babylon. And your children are going to be carried off into captivity and be a prisoner in Babylon. Because you've done this. Now, since you might think initially, that's a hard thing. He lets the Babylonians in, shows them his treasure, and God judges in such a way. But you need to understand this verse 31. How be it in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him. In dealing with this situation with the Babylonians, God had left them. God wasn't there. His restraining grace wasn't there. His wisdom wasn't there. Do you realize the decisions you would make if God's wisdom didn't stop you? Do you realize where you would go and what you would do and what you would be if God's grace didn't restrain you? If God ever leaves you, you're finished, saints. You're finished. If he ever lifts his hand off us, I don't care if you live 50 years in godliness and holiness. I don't care if you're a man or a woman of prayer. I don't care if you lie on your face before God. If God ever lifts his hand or relaxes his grasp on you, you don't realize how much the grace of God is keeping you. You don't realize it this morning. It's him. The only reason you don't fall into error and don't deny the divinity of Christ or don't deny creation. We all take it for granted. I believe God created all things, but why do you? Oh, because I'm smarter than the sinner in the streets. Oh, I've got profound. Aren't I wise that I know God created all things and I know all the ins and outs? Since without, if he ever lifted his hand, you'd become an atheist. You'd become an evolutionist. You'd become a whoremonger and an idolater. If he ever lifted that hand of grace, You see, in this situation, it actually says God left him in this situation with the Babylonians. Why? To try him, that he might know. God already knows.
Right.
Who is to know what's in his heart? Listen, to try him that he might know all that was in his heart. God already knows what's in his heart. God is here saying, I am going to leave you, Hezekiah, to try you, and I'm going to show you what's in your heart. You don't even realize what's come into your heart since I healed you in that deathbed. You don't realize what's risen up in your heart that was never there before. You think you're the same man. You think you walk in the same way. You think you pray the same and act the same and are the same. You don't realize what's come into your heart. And it is so dangerous. Then I've got to wake you up. And the only way I can wake you up is to show you what you are without me. You stood against the Assyrians, the greatest army, and defeated them in a prayer closet. Now what do you do with the Babylonians? You invite them in. No prayer. No Isaiah the prophet. Do you know Isaiah in Isaiah 11 begins to warn about a Babylon? 100 years before Babylon's raised up as a nation, Isaiah's prophesying about them. Isaiah knows that Babylon is going to become the great next mega superpower. Isaiah knows that Babylon's going to defeat Assyria and become the next dominion in the earth. Isaiah could have told Hezekiah if he would have listened. Do you know what the Bible says here? Concerning the heart of Hezekiah, after he was healed, look at verse 25. And this is after he was healed and in connection with the following period. It says, but Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him. In other words, he didn't give God what was rightfully his. He didn't act in a way like he was healed. There's a great danger when God tells you you're not going to die for 15 years. You've got heaven's approval. You had 3 days, now you've got 15 years. You're not going to die. It can make you very secure. Make you feel like you're beyond being vulnerable. Makes you feel like you're impregnable. Nothing can stop you. Saints, there's great dangers with blessing. Great dangers. It says that he didn't render again. He become unthankful, saints. God has poured out his blessings. When all hell was against him, he's on his face crying. Now when everything is okay and God gives him the victory, he becomes unthankful in his heart towards God. Do you remember the 10 lepers who came to Jesus Christ? They've got leprosy, saints. Their bodies are being eaten away. They're in pain. It's terminal. It's serious. They're going to die. God heals all 10. Jesus heals all 10. Only one of them turns back to thank him. Jesus says, where's the other 9? He must have been shocked. How can you be healed of cancer and not come back? Saints, are you not dumbfounded? A man who's suffering with leprosy, he can't go, he can't see family anymore. He can't see children, he can't see his wife. He's way out there in the wilderness, ringing a bell, unclean, unclean. His life is over. He's in pain. He's going to die a terrible death. Shocking. It's more shocking when a Christian forgets. Our situation is far worse.
Yeah.
Thank you for saving me, Lord. Thank you that all my debts paid, now I'm go free. Lord, I want an easy conscience. It was the day we used to be on our faces. Oh God, thank you for your mercy. I should have went to hell. Now it's a get out of hell free card. Oh, I know I'll be okay. Yeah, I'll be all right. I know everything's all right. You see, Hezekiah become unthankful. And look at verse 25. It goes further. But Hezekiah rendered not again to the benefit done unto him. And this is the reason, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore, there was wrath upon him. His heart become proud. And he didn't know it. Do you know why God left him? in that situation was to reveal the pride in his heart. He'd become a proud man. He'd become unthankful. He'd become secure in himself. He couldn't even tell the Babylonians, God has done a miracle and he can change your lives. God saved me. God answered prayer. No, he's saying, look at all my dominion. It becomes about man and no longer about God. It becomes selfish, self-centered, prideful, haughty, arrogant. We lose the consciousness of his presence, the presence that used to keep us holy. Now we walk free of that. We used to lie on our faces in prayer. Now we're boasting to people about things. We don't even mention God's name. It says, for his heart was lifted up. Pride entered his heart, but God was going to reveal to him. You know why? Because God loved Hezekiah. Do you know God loves you too much to go to hell? He wants to reveal what's in your heart. We're dealing with humbled under the mighty hand of God. Hezekiah was humbled. What the Assyrian army, 185,000 soldiers couldn't do, a few ambassadors done. He let Babylon walk in and take over his children and take over the future of the nation. The nation's going into Babylon to captivity now. That was pride done that. Pride in his heart. Do you realize that God will allow you to be in such a situation where you're going to find what's in your heart? He will even allow the grace of God to be held at bay. He will even take the wisdom and the righteous judgment and the insight and the discernment if it means you've fallen on your face again, humbled before God and repentant before him and desperate for his presence. God loves you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, judge yourself. If you don't judge, what does judge yourself mean? It means deal with your sin. Deal with what you know is wrong. If you don't do that, does he give up on you? No. He says, if you don't judge yourself, I will judge you. I'm going to chasten you because you're my child. I'm going to deal with your sin. And I'll tell you what, see if God doesn't deal with your sin. You're illegitimate. He says, the only reason, if you won't deal with yourself, I will deal with you like he dealt with Hezekiah. Hezekiah, I see something in you. I hate pride. You're not even conscious of me. You could go through your prayer. You're not even aware of me. You can lift your hands of worship. You're thinking about other things. Hezekiah, I want to save you from this in your heart. You become unthankful to me. You become proud. You pushed me out of all the praise. You vowed on your deathbed that you'd give praise unto me. That you'd put songs of praise to me. Saints, what a tragedy. God left him to triumph that he might know all that was in his heart. I'm going to show you what's in your heart. I'm going to reveal to you what's in your heart because I want it dealt with. I want it dealt with. I want to do heart surgery on you. You know why? When he lay on that deathbed before the Lord, listen to what he says in Isaiah 38. What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. He's making a vow. When he's facing death and he's looking for God to heal him, he says, I will walk softly all my years in bitterness, in a state of humility, in brokenness, in lowliness before God. And Peter writes in 1 Peter 5 and 5, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. You are commanded to humble yourself. You are commanded to humble yourself under God's mighty hand. Never ask God to humble you, saints, or you're in for a very real shock. We often hear people, humble me, humble me. No, you humble yourself. Believe me, it's better that you humble yourself than that God humbles you. God humbled Hezekiah by leaving him, by loosening his grasp on him, by relinquishing him, by forsaking him, by leaving him destitute. And hear me, he didn't leave him in the sense of salvation. He removed all of the graces that kept him as a man of God. Don't you praise the life of Hezekiah. That was God's grace. It was because God was with him. And since if we ever lose God in this church, we're finished. Amen. And if I ever lose God in this pulpit, we're finished. We need to keep God here. I don't care what we look like. I don't care what people think about us. But let's keep God in this place. We need God in this place. Thank God the Bible does say that Hezekiah did humble himself. He did humble himself under God's mighty hand. It says in verse 26, Hezekiah humbled himself. He discerned his heart. He listened to what Isaiah said. Isaiah came with the word of prophecy. He accepted it. He let it break him. He let it expose the pride of his heart. He said, I've become proud. After all these years, I've become proud. And you know what? This act, all that happened with those ambassadors was an act of God's mercy to expose and show him how much pride had come in. Yeah. He never would have let that happen before. And yet here he is letting the enemy walk right in. God had to reveal and shoot him. And he says, forgive me of my pride. Cleanse me of my pride. Blot out my transgression. God changed his heart. He humbled himself. And he lived for at least another 14 years reigning over Israel. Thank God he was humbled under the mighty hand of God. Saints, I'm talking about an experience with God where God will humble you. God will have a dealing with you to reveal what's in your heart, even if it means failure. Even if it means you've fallen flat on your face, he'd rather you fail in some situation of life than to get to the end of your journey and not be right. He'll break up everything in your life if it means getting you right. He'll do it. If you think God isn't speaking in trials, he is speaking in trials. He's speaking loud and clear, saying, I'm trying to get through to you. What do I have to do to get your attention? Do I have to break your leg? Do I have to destroy your boat? What do I have to do to you to get you to sit down and listen to me? Two years after his healing, Hezekiah gave birth to Manasseh, one of the most wicked kings of Israel. He was the most depraved young man. He became the king of Israel at a very young age, as a young boy. His father died, and he became the king of Israel at the age of 12. He was absolutely depraved. He was wicked. He was an idolater. He destroyed the nation. I don't want to even put on my lips this morning how wicked he was or what he done. I don't want to even do that. He was a wicked, rebellious young man. And you know what God done? Because he was so wicked, God's wrath was stirred and God sent the Babylonians to take him, and he was captured. He was carried to Babylon. His nation was destroyed. And you know what he done in Babylon? He's sitting there in chains. Can you imagine the power of this? Realizing that everything Isaiah preached is true. Everything that was spoken his dad is true. Here he is in chains, a prisoner. He's been a wicked young man. And listen to what the Bible says. He humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. He humbled himself greatly. And says, God heard. And God miraculously intervened, had him sent back to Israel and restored as the king. Miraculous. Manasseh's reign was the longest in all of Israel of any king, 55 years. Do you know, as he sat in that prison cell, there's one thing he knew. If you humble yourself under God's mighty hand, he'll come to you. One thing, he goes up being wicked. He didn't remember his father's prayers. or his father's miracle, or the great victories over enemies. Wasn't that? If I humble myself, God will come to me. Humble yourself. Saints, there is an experience. A dealing of God. A set of situations that God brings us to, that we might be humbled. Absolutely stripped. Do you know what it's like to be humbled under the mighty hand of God? Do you know what it is to be absolutely broken before Him? Do you know that the word humbled means to be lowly? To take that lowest, absolute, vulnerable place? Humble yourself under the hand of God and He will raise you up and restore you like He did with Hezekiah and Manasseh. If He can do it with Manasseh, He'll do it with us. Let's pray. Father, we call upon You. Lord God, we know there's an experience, Lord God, of being humbled under Your mighty hand. My God, it's not something we'd pray for or desire, but my God, You say You want to reveal to us and show us what's even in our hands, what's in our hearts. You want to reveal it unto us. My God, You don't want plagues to be in our heart. You don't want leprosy in our heart. You don't want unthankfulness or pride in our heart. Just help us this morning in Jesus.